now in session. God save the United States and its honorable court. Please be seated.
Good morning, I'm Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Hagel. To my left is Judge Davis. We're here today in the matter of Grant versus Nicholson, document number 070527. Would counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Charles G. Mills of Glen Cove, New York, for the petitioner.
Good morning, Jay McGee for the secretary.
And who's with you?
Co-counsel Brian Riffle, Deputy Assistant Attorney General.
Thank you. I may know that, but the record doesn't until you put it in there. Are both parties ready to proceed?
Ready, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. We do have it slotted for 30 minutes each side, which is our norm. You do not need to take the full 30 minutes. And you may proceed, Mr. Mills.
May it please the court, I'd like to reserve 10 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
All right.
Your Honor, this is in a system that is plagued with delays, a particularly egregious case of delay. And, you know, there's a threat here of future delay. This is delay despite a promise made to this court 3 years ago that this matter would be handled expeditiously. There's been some recent history in the case since the petition was filed. So we're now on their fifth denial, my fifth notice of disagreement, and basically at the close of business day before yesterday, or first thing yesterday, probably the close of business day before yesterday, something was filed called a statement of the case, finally. The document that was filed on, at least that was, that a copy was provided to me by my adversary on Monday evening, referred to a 2005 claim. The petition in this case seeks to compel the Secretary to issue a statement of the case in a claim that was filed in the year 2000.
Where is that claim?
Where is that claim? It's a claim, Your Honor. Well, there have been, it's in the regional office, the New York City regional office.
Do you have a copy?
I didn't bring it with me today, Your Honor.
You didn't file it with your petition?
I think I did.
Would you mind referring to us then? Could that have been cause for some of the confusion that exists in this case?
Confusion, you mean at the Secretary's General Counsel Office or at the Regional Office?
Through, on both sides.
Well,
I mean, there's no question that this matter was remanded pursuant to a JMR with discussions of a claim that existed. Not even clear when it was filed. There's no question that the Secretary has been responding to letters you've been sending denying pensions and denying a straight DIC for death claim. There's no question that more recently you've been saying there's this claim for the Q, and fairly clearly saying there's this claim for the Q, and there's no question that that finally didn't get decided until just recently. Do you not agree that it looks more like confusion than some kind of deliberate disregard of anything you're saying?
I think it is confusion at the regional office, Your Honor, but I don't think it's confusion over the paperwork. I think it's confusion by reason of people at the regional office not understanding the law, frankly.
All right, so now we have a statement of the case, which theoretically will put you before the board.
I'm going to certainly argue that it puts me before the board, Your Honor, when I go to the board, yes.
So what is it you would like this court to do at this point?
like the court to retain jurisdiction so there are no future delays in this case, Your Honor.
But what, do you want development of your claim? Let me restate that. It's a Q claim, correct?
Well, it's technically not a Q claim, but there has to be a min Q in order for the claim. It's a claim for dependency and indemnity on the grounds that but for Q, the veteran would have been service-connected, disabled for the last 10 years or more before his life, actually many more than the last 10 years before his death.
That's correct. And it does appear in the statement of the case that the Secretary understands your claim and has given you a statement of the case.
I would say that's correct, Your Honor.
All right. So if there is to be development, why would this court retain jurisdiction? Development can take time, even properly done.
Well, Your Honor, I'm here the second time on a petition.
I understand.
The same case, and if the court does not retain jurisdiction, I just fear that a year and a half from now, or 2 years from now, I will be back here with a petition for mandamus to send the file to the board.
And why wouldn't that suffice?
Well,
I mean, there's no question that this case has been muddled. That's my view of it as I review this.
I think it's been egregiously muddled, yes, Your Honor. And
but I don't have anything here showing what the original claim was. I have references to it, but I don't have an original claim sitting here saying very clearly that this is a claim for DIC benefits based on 1318 for Q in a 1957 or whatever the year was decision. I don't have that. I have that recently.
Well, that's probably my mistake, Your Honor, not to attach another copy. There is a copy in the file of the prior petition for mandamus of that claim.
Which was back in, 04?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah. Well, that judge has moved on.
Anyway.
All right. Thank you. I have no further. I'll let you may continue, or?
Well, Your Honor, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
There are a couple questions. You seek, I see four elements of relief in your petition. The first element of relief that you ask for is that the statement of case be issued in this case for this claim forthwith. Do you agree that the Secretary has now provided you with that statement of case that you seek in this petition?
That's my position that the Secretary has, Your Honor. I don't know if the Secretary is going to come back and say, oh, no, this is not a 2000 claim. But that's my position, the Secretary has provided.
It's your petition, and you've asked for a statement of case.
My position that the Secretary has provided that, Your Honor.
So that portion of the petition has been satisfied, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. So the remaining relief that you asked for, I want to make sure that these things are still things that you're seeking, is you want the court to direct that the Board of Veterans' Appeals expedite consideration of this case.
I would like that, Your Honor.
Okay. Secondly, you're asking the court to retain jurisdiction over this.
Yes, Your Honor.
And in furtherance of that retaining jurisdiction, you ask that we receive periodic reports.
Yes, Your Honor.
On the progress of the case. Now, do you have any support for us doing that? Any legal support for our ability to do that?
Your Honor, there are a number of this. Well, when you say legal support, you mean that it's been published. Okay, no, I have no court report for that that's been published, Your Honor.
Okay. Do you have any particular reason, factually, why you believe it's necessary for the court to do this?
Well, the reason is that 3 years after the Secretary promised the court to handle this thing expeditiously, it was still basically in the condition of almost a brand new claim. And I'm just worried that pattern is going to repeat itself in this claim in the future.
But if I can restate it only to make sure that I understand it, is that your basis for requesting this relief, your concern based upon the past history of the handling of this claim?
Yes, sir.
You're aware that it will, that mishandling of the claim, as you characterize it, will continue in the future?
Yes, sir.
And you'd like some assurances, and that assurances you see is supervision by this court of the appellate process before the secretary?
Yes, sir.
I have one additional on that. Did you not also ask for, just a clarification, the statement of the case ties it back, I believe, to an 05 claim, or maybe even an 06. You want it going back to the whatever this 01 claim would be?
Yes, sir. That's the claim. There's only been one claim filed that is at issue at all.
Right, but apparently the secretary views it as a more recent one, and you view it as an earlier one.
Yes, sir.
And you agree that can be brought up to the board?
Yes, sir. I think the board can correct that mistake.
Okay. Thank you.
My name is Shayla McGee, and I represent the Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, R. James Nicholson. To my right is co-counsel, Deputy Assistant General Counsel Ryan Ripple. The Secretary respectfully requests that this court deny or dismiss petitioner's writ of mandamus dated March 1, 2007, that requested the court order the Secretary to issue a statement of the case and retain jurisdiction over this claim, this writ. The Secretary asserts that petitioner has not adequately shown that she is entitled to the writ and that she lacks adequate alternative means to obtain the relief requested pursuant to Ebert versus Brown and Erskine versus Dorinsky.
Is it the Secretary's position that time has no factor? Time is not a factor in our decision?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. The Secretary acknowledges that there has been confusion on both sides of this claim and the adjudication of the claim and in the characterization of the claims that came before the regional office. I'm not sure what factor time would play in this decision besides perhaps a earlier effective date if petitioner chooses to file an appeal to the Board of Veteran Appeals and when it goes before the Board of Veteran Appeals, that might be an issue that opposing counsel.
Well, at this point, a statement of the case has been filed and there's an issue dealing with when this claim was filed. Do you have a 2001 claim, the one that was mentioned by counsel?
Your Honor, the reference that I have is the June 25th, 2004 court order that is at Secretary's Response Attachment A, where Judge Ivers in the second sentence says that this is a claim for death pension benefits.
So with the statement of the case, we know that's one issue that's been presented. The statement of the case now gets reviewed by what, the regional office?
Well, the statement of the case was issued by the regional office, and when petitioner files an appeal, it will go to the Board of Veteran Appeals, and the Board of Veteran Appeals will have jurisdiction over the claim. It will be out of the regional office hands, so to speak.
And what if additional development is to be directed by the board? Where does it go?
It will be remanded back to the regional office if that's what the board so chooses, unless the board makes a finding that it does not need additional development.
Well, is there a way to get it to a different regional office or another entity so that regional office is not handling this claim?
I'm not sure, Your Honor. I could check on that and file a supplemental response that would inform the court of that.
The regional office works for the secretary, though, correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the secretary has been involved in this for well over a year, at least counsel.
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
And yet until the past few days, this thing still sat in Confusion City, as I see it.
Yes, Your Honor.
Now, how did that happen?
Well, Your Honor, as the secretary has stated, there's been confusion on this claim. The fact that there was a death pension claim that was filed, opposing counsel did reference a death pension claim to Judge Ivers.
No, I understand that, but counsel's position and concern is that it may not just be the regional office that has been confused. It's been everybody who's been confused. And what assurances has the secretary given him that this case will now proceed expeditiously as it was supposed to have done since 2004?
Well, the secretary has, in good faith, got this claim back on track, and it's by evidence by the fact that we were able to get the state
grant appreciates the secretary's efforts in getting the claim in a position where the appeal can now be filed and the claim can be processed. And I think the fact that you have two lawyers involved now, the process theoretically should go smoother as long as the general counsel continues to have an interest in the proper processing of the claim. But I can't help but be concerned by the fact that that the thing didn't get back on track except for the filing of a petition. And again, at least myself, and I think the other judges appreciate the fact that the general counsel's office stepped in to try to manage this. What assurances can you, as the secretary's representative, give the court that this claim will remain on track, and can you provide a time frame by which this appeal would be decided should a substantive appeal be filed now following this statement of the case?
Your Honor, as the secretary's counsel, we would say that this could be handled forthright as soon as petitioner.
I'm talking about, I'm not talking about a general time frame. I'm talking about a specific period of time.
Potentially within 60 days, we could, if from the time petitioner files her appeal and it gets processed to the Board of Veteran Appeals. And also something that the secretary would like to note, that pursuant to 38 U.S.C. 7107 and 38 CFR 20.900, petitioner can actually file an advancement on the docket of the Board of Veteran Appeals for sufficient grounds. That includes if petitioner is 75 years or older, or also if for other sufficient grounds that she might assert, and that could even speed up the time frame. It's just when petitioner files her appeal, and if she chooses to file that motion for advancement on the BVA docket, I could probably provide a better time frame based on that.
I understand that that's available, and of course, counsel can advise his client about that. But absent any expedited hearing, and given the past history of this case, can the secretary represent to the court if a substantive appeal is filed within the next 10 days, let's say, when will this case be resolved finally by the board?
If I could just have a moment here,
sure.
On that side. Your Honor, right now we would have to contact the Board of Veteran Appeals before we could give you an exact time frame. Currently, appeals are running 6 to 8 months, and we would have to speak with the board concerning this case. We just don't feel it would be completely appropriate to represent to this court a time frame without speaking to the board.
I understand. How long would that take you to do?
Speaking to the board immediately within this week.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that. And if you were to speak to the board, we still have the issue of development, which can take time, and of course the board could not guarantee how fast all that could go. But presumably the board could move it to the top of its calendar, and you could report back to the court that type of information.
Yes, sir.
Any questions? Anything else?
Yes, Your Honor. The secretary just requests that this respectfully that this court dismiss or deny the writ, the extraordinary relief currently, because we have issued an SOC. Also, the secretary asserts that there is no need to retain jurisdiction over this claim pursuant to Erspamer, Cleary, and Cerullo, basically because if petitioner files her
Let me suggest this. We can go through the whole process of the court directing orders, et cetera, but if my colleagues are agreeable, you'll report back by Friday, is that correct? As to whether or not the board will move this to the top of its docket?
Yes, Your Honor, and of course, that's if the petitioner files her appeal and also a motion for advancement on the docket, or if in we assert that that be something.
I see it. Well, I'm sure the board will advise you about its ability to advance on the docket and other statutory requirements. They have to decide things in order. If I could ask you a question, given this is a claim for dependency indemnity and compensation based upon an allegation that there's clear and unmistakable error in a 1957 RO decision, in essence a motion revised based on clear and unmistakable error, what if any development does the Secretary see would be needed in such a case?
Currently, right now, the Secretary is not sure what additional development, unless there is...
Well, let me be more specific. If we're talking about clear and unmistakable error in a 57 decision, what evidence could possibly be brought, and I'm going to ask Mr. Mills the same question, so you might be thinking about it, what evidence could possibly be brought to bear on that, on making a determination of that, since the Secretary would have to view things as they were at the time in 1957.
Yes, Your Honor. What the Secretary would assert is that there would have to be, because this is the 1957 decision that was based on service connection for psychosis, there would have to be some evidence of a diagnosis of psychosis or that happening within service or within 2 years from service. Thus far, we have not received any evidence that would indicate that there was a diagnosis of psychosis during service or immediately following service, which is the result of the denial. But that would be the evidence right now. The Secretary would assert right now would be something that could be brought to the board in consideration.
Well, just to rephrase the question, make sure it's understood, if it's a Q claim, aren't you limited to what's in the file at the time or perhaps what might have constructively been before the Secretary at the time?
Right now we're limited by what's in the claims file, but if there's some additional records, I believe that would show psychosis. There just hasn't been a diagnosis.
Service records, you mean?
Yes, Your Honor, service medical records.
I have no further.
Approximately in the year 2001, I decided that in every communication I sent to the regional office, that I would put a sentence in it in bold letters stating precisely what this claim was and what it was not, just because they were already beginning to sort of get that mixed up. Your Honor, one of the important parts of the development of this claim is already before Secretary, and that is the Naval Hospital records from 1946. The other part is the veteran's total unemployability, which has been statements of that under oath and are under penalty of perjury, and no contradiction of them, and no quattrocer request for additional information on that. And it seems to be undisputed that he was totally unemployable for generation. But the Naval Hospital records of 46 were available to the administrator of the Veterans Administration in 1957. And so I think that the development has largely been done. Now, there's a statement that he had to have a psychosis within 2 years after the end of service. That's actually not what the law says. The law says that there's a presumption.
We're not here to
Okay, you're not here to
decide whether or not there was
yeah.
Mills, is it your intention to file a substantive appeal?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
When can you represent to the court that will be done?
Let's see, today is a Wednesday. I would say within about 11 or 12 days, but within a week from this Friday.
Okay, do you realize that, you know, the board and the secretary can do nothing as far as advancing this matter further without a substantive appeal?
Yes, I know that. I'm going to file the substantive appeal as quickly as I can.
And do you understand that the secretary's point about seeking advancement on the docket and providing?
Yes, I will.
The reasons why you might seek that.
My client is over 75 years old, and this long history of delay, I think, would justify the board in advancing it. And I'll consult with my adversary about it, but I'll seek to have the board advance it. I'm concerned, however, that there's a history throughout the Department of Veterans Affairs of files not going to the board until 500 days after the formal appeal, and I certainly don't want to see anything like that happen. I mean, that's an average number, Your Honor, of the number of days, 505, I believe it was 504, and I'm certainly concerned that nothing like that should happen in this case.
Are you satisfied that the Secretary's counsel has taken action and understands the importance of seeing this case is handled appropriately in the administrative adjudicative process from here henceforth?
Yes, Your Honor, I'm very pleased with that. And
are you willing to work with Secretary
Oh, yes,
counsel?
Oh, yes, I am.
If they're willing to...
I am, Your Honor. Okay. I am, but I mean, I want the case not to have a second month, a third month, if you're delay after two of them have already passed by. And, you know, I have nothing further, Your Honor, unless there are more questions.
All right. Case will be dismissed. I mean, submitted. Excuse me. Strike that part.
What is it?